as well. So let's go ahead and get into the Word of God this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we started our study last week, a new study, handing the relay, handing off the baton, and how it is our desire and every one of us here in our life that we would pass it on to the next generation. First off, to carry the baton. How many knows we got to carry it? Don't be so quick to hand it off. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's one thing we see about the Apostle Paul here as he's getting clearly to the end of his days. Even though he's clearly passing on the baton, he's encouraging young Timothy to go on. It doesn't seem like he's too quick to turn it loose. You know, he still has things to say. He still has some things he wants to write and some things he wants to read. And so I just love that picture that's given of, I think it's Jacob in the scripture when it talks about Jacob as an old man. I can just picture it in my mind as he's there and he's blessing his children. He brings all his children out before him and he begins to bless them and pronounce the blessings upon them. And then he tells them things that will happen in the last days. And so it talks about how that when he got all that finished, when he finished all that he was saying, he was leaning upon worship. He leaned upon his bed and worshiped. And every time I read that, I say, Lord, let me be worshiping all my days. If I grow to a ripe old age, and let me always be worshiping. Let me be praising you and not to waste a single day. I've got to believe that days spent not worshiping God and serving the Lord are days wasted. Amen. And so that's what Paul's doing. He's not so quick to say, I'm not going to do anything now. I'm just going to. Our topic last week was words from a dungeon, right? So he had every excuse in the world to just sit and sulk and say, well, I've done my part. But instead, it seems like he's still motivated, still willing to work and labor together. And so this morning, we mentioned it briefly last week, but we're going to be reading from chapter 1 again and just read. I'm going to read from verse 6 on out through that chapter. And I'm sure the topic's already up, but let's just read this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I will invite you to do this real quickly. If you haven't done it, 2 Timothy is such a short book. You can just sit down and read it, and you'd be surprised of all the very familiar verses there, just in this short book of 2 Timothy, this letter that was written by the Apostle Paul, much quoted, you know, within church. And if you've been serving the Lord for any length of time, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know that verse. Yeah, I know that verse. And you'll be surprised to find a lot of them right here in 2 Timothy. But let's read 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I've got three places here in this one chapter, three places that I've highlighted in all three places. First, Paul instructs Timothy, be not thou ashamed, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then again in verse 12, Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And then again down in verse 16, a man by the name of Onesiphorus, and I worked on that word. It did not come easy for me, but I did nail it this morning. Onesiphorus, it says that he was not ashamed of my chains. So three places were instructed. Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. He says of himself, I am not ashamed. And then he says of Onesiphorus, he is not ashamed. Three places were instructed, I am not ashamed. Now, when we think about this vital theme or this vital message to us today, if we can apply this in our own life, let's firstly remember, as we talked about last week, this message coming from this dungeon in this Mamertine prison where we find the Apostle Paul in the end of his life. And I read in a couple of places they gave the description of this being the Apostle Paul's swan song. And, of course, we've heard that phrase, what is a swan song? So I went and looked it up. I said, before I say that's what the Apostle Paul's doing, let me find out what a swan song is. And it turns out a swan song was some type of legend that was given where the swan doesn't sing any time of his life. He's very quiet. His song is not beautiful. And so when he gets to the end of his day, he gives his swan song. And so I immediately thought, that does not apply here, because the Apostle Paul was not quiet all his life. That he was one that did not wait to the end of his days to give his swan song. So I think that's a bad analogy. This is not his swan song. This is just a man that had stood for so many years for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he gets to the end of his days, he says, listen, I am not ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. And so it's not someone who has not opened his mouth before. I like the way Haley's Bible reference put it. I wrote it down this morning. He said, this is the exultant cry of a dying conqueror. The exultant cry of a dying conqueror. I can't read that without thinking, well, the Apostle Paul mentioned that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That he understood that he could endure. This is not the cry of many of the church today to say, well, that means that we're just going to be prospering in everything that we attempt and do. That anything, if you think it and believe it, you can achieve it. That's hogwash. So just throw that stuff out. It means nothing. It's not in the gospel. What the Apostle Paul was saying was this, is that I've learned to do be with. I've learned to be without. I've learned how to be exalted. I've learned how to be abased. He said, through all these things, I have learned that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen. He was not claiming it and blaming it and all these things. He was just simply saying, whether I prosper, whether I am look defeated, in the end, I know that my Redeemer lives. Yeah. Amen. I know that I am more than a conqueror. See, he was looking beyond his situation. He was looking beyond circumstance. He was looking beyond his happenstance. His happiness or his blessedness was not dependent upon who he was, where he was, but it was in who Jesus is. Amen. I am not ashamed. Why would the Apostle Paul make such a statement? Why would he say that? Why is he pushing this fact to Timothy and making it well known that others around him had not been ashamed? When you're ashamed of something, when you're, because I guess growing up as a young Christian, it was important to me and it was very well driven in my mind not to be ashamed. Not to be ashamed. But I was never really given any motivation of why I shouldn't be ashamed or told. I was just told, you shouldn't be ashamed, right? You know, my idea of being ashamed is when You know, when it was time to stand up and say something for Jesus, I'd be willing to do it. And I don't mean to tell off on myself, and I'm not going to tell you but so much, but I didn't often do it. And so I'd go away, oh, you should have said something. You should have done something. You shouldn't have been ashamed. But the Apostle Paul here, when he's talking about this shame, when we are ashamed, it means someone has let us down. When something is put to shame, it's because of improper behavior or incompetence. Someone has missed it. And the Apostle Paul, as he gets to the end of his days, and he says, listen, I'm suffering for the gospel. And that's kind of how he prefaces this statement. He said in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. I'm going through suffering, some hardships, some trials, some tribulation. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Well, why, Paul? Why is it that you are not ashamed? Because I know and have believed and am persuaded, I am convinced of this, that he is able to keep that which I've committed against unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not looking for this where I am right now. I'm looking beyond my circumstance. And just as Jesus had told very clearly, if you will confess me before the world, I will confess you before the Father. Paul was convinced of this. He says, I know when you're ashamed, you think someone's not going to come through. Paul says, listen, Timothy, don't be ashamed. I'm suffering. I'm going through hardship. Why? But I am persuaded, amen, that God's going to do simply what he said he was going to do. You're not going to have to hang your head and say, well, it just wasn't all it was cracked up to be. But he says, I am persuaded. Now, this whole chapter, I was thinking about how we could just kind of sum it up. And one word that came to my mind was just the word perseverance. It's the idea of just continuing to be patient, a patient effort in spite of obstacles, just to persevere. Anybody ever had to persevere? Amen? You know, we quote the verses, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not grow weary. They shall walk, and they shall not faint. Amen? So it's this idea of waiting on the Lord. And so Paul is preaching to Timothy. He says, listen, persevere. This work, hold on, in spite of opposition. Just keep working. Keep doing. Keep doing what you're called to do. Amen. In verse 6, he said it this way, and we quoted it last week. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift. It just simply means to rekindle. It's just like the idea of building a fire and cause it to burn more brightly. Stoke a fire. Now, if you're looking at me to build a fire, good luck, because I am not good at it. Maybe it's a lost art. I don't know. Anybody in here good at building a fire? Amen. I know Dave is. Dave's not here this morning. If he was here, Dave could build a fire with wet wood. I don't know how he does it. And I got a brother-in-law. We used to go camping a lot, and that dude can build a fire. And if it was up to me, there would be no fire. But and so I did, as where we gained most of our knowledge, I went to Google. I said, Google, how do you rekindle a fire? And so it gave me some direction. And so our message this morning, pardon me, this is normally not my method, but it came from Google on how to build a fire. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to stir up this gift. I want you to rekindle it. The fire, maybe, I don't want to assume anything on young Timothy, but there may be, as we talked about last week, some very common hindrances that come upon us that may cause our fire not to burn so brightly. But here we find him saying, rekindle this fire, stir up that gift, up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. See, we've already talked about this idea of perseverance. The Apostle Paul giving instruction, keep on going. I am not ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. I understand my affliction. I like the way Paul put it over in the book of Acts, and it's over in Acts 20. You can turn there with me if you want to. I'm just going to read a couple verses. It's probably a familiar passage to you over in Acts chapter number 20. This is where, where Paul, let's just start with verse 17 there. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So Paul calling the elders of the church of Ephesus. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, or that would be tests or trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse 21 there. I love things simple. I don't like to overcomplicate things, and I like it right here, and I wrote it off to the side in verse 21. This is the gospel. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord. That's Paul's message. Amen. I mean, this message still has the power today. Amen. The message of Jesus Christ still has the power to save today. It says, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Or they're there waiting on Paul. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. None of these things. Paul had been revealed, it had been revealed to him by the Spirit through prophets. Other people had come and said, listen, Paul, this is what waits for you in Jerusalem. He says, none of these things move me. None of these things are calling me to stop. And so when Paul is telling Timothy, stir up the gift. Don't be ashamed. Know that God will do what he says he's going to do. That God, the promises in him are yea and in him amen. That God is faithful to keep his promise. So how do we do this? How do we stir up this gift? How do we fan the flame? Well, Google told me this. The first step is to do this. The first step of rekindling a flame that's dying out is, firstly, you got to remove the ashes. So number one, what we do, remove the ashes. What does it mean to remove the ashes? Well, in a fire sense, you know, it's things that had already burned up. And like when a fire is there, or if you've got a wood stove or whatever you may have there, you've got to get a shovel and go in there and clean out the mess. You know, get that ashes, get the wood out that had already been burned up. And so when we think about ashes, especially in the Scripture, it's often a sign of mourning. It's a sign of a struggle. We find Job there said that he sat among the ashes. We find where David in one place, the psalmist wrote, for I have eaten the ashes like bread. Well, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to get the ashes out. You've got to get past struggles and defeats and even hurts out of the way. Stir up the gift. Stoke the fire. So often we get this woe is me complex. Maybe We've been hurt before, so we're not going to do it again. Maybe we've tried to minister before and we've been rejected. Paul says, Timothy, stir it up. Get the ashes out. I love the way it was put in Isaiah 61. And if you want to go there, you can. I want to read just a few verses because it's a familiar passage to us in Isaiah 61. It says, I love this, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It says he give them beauty for ashes. See, when in the Old Testament times, when a man was mourning, when he had gone through some type of loss, they would you can read about it, and they would put themselves sackcloth and often throw ashes upon their head. Well, here in Isaiah, it's talking about a time when this Spirit of the Lord is upon this anointed one, and it says that he's going to give beauty, or it speaks of an ornament of beauty, like a head dressing of sorts. It says, I'm going to take the ashes out, and I'm going to give you an ornament, a thing of beauty. Beauty for ashes, an embellishment or a goodly ornament. In place of the mourning, the ashes that are upon your head. Now, I don't want to take away from any struggle you might be going through right now, but I do want to make you aware that this took place in Christ. That this is not something that we've got to wait for down the road somewhere. And how do we know this? Because there was a time when Jesus was in the temple. And he was in his old home place, and it says that he stood up there, and they brought the book to him. And he began to open up, and he opened up here to Isaiah chapter number 61, and he just began to read and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings. And he went on down through, and he quoted exactly what we're reading here in Isaiah. And then when he got it done, it says he took and he closed the book. And he sat down, and all eyes were upon him, just waiting to see what he was going to say. And he said, this day is this fulfilled. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. All that the prophets had spoke of, all that they looked forward to, was taking place in this day. Beauty for ashes, gladness for mourning, worship and praise. We got to get the ashes. You want to stoke the fire? Quit living in the ashes. Get the ashes out. Look the way he tells Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. He tells him in verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from thee, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. It says, purge these things. If a man therefore will do this, if a man will purge himself, if he'll get out the junk. Now, if you read up a couple of verses, you'll see what many things he was talking about. He was talking about those that had erred from the truth. He talked about that in a great house there were vessels of gold and of silver, and there was wood and there was earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. He says, purge yourself of the junk. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Purge yourself. This is not a passive statement, is it? I know you don't have to remind me. I believe and the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Spirit of God changes our hearts and lives. But I also can see in Scripture where there's some action that should be taken in our life. I mean, I believe that the Spirit of God is able to keep us from falling. But I've never had the Holy Ghost turn the TV off on me. I've never had the Spirit of God change the channel when something came on that I shouldn't be looking at. I've never had the Spirit of God close out an internet window. We got to purge ourselves. Amen. We got to be able to hit the off button. We got to be able to turn the remote. We got to be able to purge ourselves from unrighteousness. Why? Because we want to be fit for the Master's use. Fit. I don't know how I got into it this week, but I was listening to some different preaching and all, and somehow I got into these people that had just listening to a certain individual talking about all these ministers and all that had fallen into sin and all this ungodliness, and it just broke my heart. I mean, I was just like, that's all the world needs, is to see someone else. I mean, it's my opinion, that's why, you know, when we were pointing elders and deacons and all, that we go to the Word of God. Amen? Because the Word of God says there are some qualifications that you must meet to fill these roles. Not because you're just available. Amen? That's why it's important that when we say, I want to fill this role, I want to serve in this ministry, I want to do this, I want to do that, that we purge out the old ashes, that we get the junk out of our life. Why? Because we don't want to bring up reproach upon the gospel. And our lives will do that. Now, you're not going to hurt the gospel. I mean, the gospel is the gospel. You're not going to change it. But people are looking at our lives. And every time, I heard it said this way at one point, every time a great tree falls, it does not fall by itself. Yeah. Purge yourself. I don't know how far to take that, but I'll just tell you, it's not passive. We rely on the Spirit of God. But so first, we've got to remove the ashes. Then Google tells me this. After doing that, we've got to bring the live coals to the front. That's step two. Get the old ashes out and then bring the live coals to the front of the fire. What's that mean? This may be a stretch this morning, but it's our ministry. It's our work. It's what we've done. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, bring the coals to the front. Do what you're called to do. Preach the word, Timothy. You want to stoke this fire? No, you can sit around and wait and say, well, I'll do it one day. Preach. I charge thee, he says. When I first read that, I thought that Apostle Paul was given a command. I thought he was, you know, saying, you better do this or else, Timothy. But I found out that it's really not what that word means entirely. I guess there is part of it that does, but it means to attest. Or to certify by signature or by word. So what Paul was doing here, he was saying, I am certifying you, Timothy. Why? Because he's already said, I know the faith that's in you. It was in your mother. It was in your grandmother. And I know the ministry that's been given to you by the laying on of my hands. I know it's there. And so I'm certifying you. I'm giving my approval. See, the word of the Apostle Paul carried some weight. You know, there are certain people when they speak, you just listen. I know some people in my life, some people just talk all the time, and you're just used to them talking. But every now and again, you get somebody that they don't say a whole lot. I work with a guy, he don't say much. That dude doesn't say, but when he does, I'm always like, wow, he must really have something to say to speak. Apostle Paul says, I'm certifying you. I've got this to say. This is my approval. Amen. That said from a guy that usually preaches an hour. But anyway, can't help it. We got words to say. I guess we say them. Certify by oath or signature. Bear witness. I'm bearing witness to you. The calling that's in your life. Preach the word. Preach, Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, by the putting on of my hands. Over in 1 Timothy, he tells them this way. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Don't neglect it. Don't be careless. Don't make light of it. I can't help but think of the parable that Jesus told when he was talking about the feast that was prepared. You remember? And he went out and made the invitation. Come, the feast is ready. And they begin to make excuses. And it says in one place that many of them begin to make light of it. Just made light of it. Like, that's no big deal. Paul says this, don't make light of it. And don't take it for granted. Don't neglect this. I mean, why? Because you've got a work to do. So get busy doing it. Bring the live coals to the front. Step 3. And I'm just going to stop and let y'all preach this one because this was easy. Let the air get to the embers. Let the air get to the embers. Where am I going with that? We can't fall into the trap where we forget that it is a work of the Spirit of God. Amen? That it is the Spirit that moves in our life and is able to keep us. In the end, we wholly rely on the power of God. I mentioned that last week. Living in the power of God. What does it mean to do that? He tells him over in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, in the end, Timothy, you can do all you can do. Get the ashes out. Bring the coals to the front. Let the air breathe on it. Amen. You want to rekindle this fire? He tells him one place, he says, pray in the Spirit. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. Throughout the book of Acts, I can find places where people like Peter and even the Apostle Paul, in many places, they would stand up boldly and proclaim the gospel. And it says, being full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of, not full of themselves, not full of their own ability, their own strength, being full of the Holy Ghost, they stood up and spoke boldly with power. How could it be that the same man that would deny the Lord 3 times would stand up and say, you, through wicked hands, crucified your Messiah? How could the same man say, we ought to obey God rather than man? How could he do it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the power of God, the wind blowing upon the embers. Amen. God, let your Spirit, or as Young says it this way, through the Holy Spirit. Paul tells them over in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6, verse number 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We were in here Wednesday evening before our Bible study praying, and that just kept coming back to my mind over and over. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there were many that began to talk about individuals that they'd come in contact with and administered to in their life. And it seems like, you know, they weren't coming out of what they were in. And I just said, Lord, the power of prayer. How many believe in the power of prayer? I mean, I believe in the examples given of Elijah. They prayed that he would not rain, and it didn't even rain at his word through prayer. Amen. Pray that the power of God would work, that it would direct our steps. Amen. As Sister Brenda goes today to speak to these people, let's pray for her. Amen. That God would use her and give her the words to speak boldly through the power being full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God, we rely on you. Let the embers burn. Let the air flow. Let the Spirit of God move in our midst. He says, through good thing, this sound doctrine, keep it, guarding it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then step four was this. Add more wood. Add more wood. I've kind of been, I guess, experiencing this in my own life just simply because, you know, having to preach every Sunday morning. I'll just admit to you, I'm often like many of us are. You know, there's something that's got to drive us often to the Word. You know, we get negligent many times. You know, when you're preaching every Sunday morning, how many knows you can't get negligent? You better have some Word. And I can see just that God is just building me up through the study of the Word. Why? Because it's adding wood. It's putting things in our life that can burn. And the Word of God, I just love to talk about it. I get to talk some time at work to people, and I can tell they really don't want to hear it and don't really care that much about it. But, you know, I got in a conversation this week with this guy. He was just standing like this. I said, yeah, but you know, the Word says this and that. And he's like, well, he and I played some golf together a few times. And so he's not going to shoot me down because he wants to play golf with me. And I was like, you know, the Bible says this and that. And then he got done. He said, thank you. And I walked off. And I was like, okay, but... Why? Because when that wood's in there, it's got to burn. That word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not keep it back. Amen. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm just telling you, put the word in your heart. Amen. Add the wood. Timothy, preach the word. Study, 2 Timothy 2:15, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show the power of the word of God. It's able to, it's profitable, we told him. He said the word of God is profitable. Put the word in. This is something that we can be a part of, to study. The word there actually means to make every effort, be diligent. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Continue, 3 and 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture. We want to be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God has that ability. Amen. The Scripture has the power. And then the last point that was made, and it's kind of a negative approach, I guess, but in talking about building this fire, it said this. It says, never let the fire smolder. So you can get rid of the ashes. You can bring the hot coals to the front. You can let the wind blow on it. You can add more wood. But the last warning is, don't let the fire just sit there and smolder. And what does that mean? It just means don't let it just sit there and smoke without a flame. Why? Because it just burns up the wood. It can eat up the wood, and there's no flame there. There's no warmth. There's nothing being brought forth. It's really not fit for a whole lot. It just kind of exists in a suppressed state without any activity, and it just slowly is consumed. Man, let's not spend our life smoldering, just smoldering, but stir up that fire that's within us. If you look, actually just a couple books over, I go here very often just because I love the words of Peter here in 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace, verse 2, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Amen. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He hath given us all things. How many believe this morning? Amen. I believe it. I believe we've been given all things. You're sitting around waiting on something, and you're a born-again Christian filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You've got the Word of God in front of you to partake. You've been given all things pertaining to the word pertaining to actually means to move toward, motion toward a certain direction. So you've got everything moving this way. And from here, Peter goes into some very pointed direction again of what putting on this, put on this. This leads to this. You're moving that direction. You've got all things you need. Just continue to move. You know, that's one thing about ministry. I guess it'd be one thing, you know, if every day was just an outpouring and there was something going on every day and there you could just see results every single day. But, you know, sometimes you don't. I listened to a guy one time. What was that guy's name, Shell? Jordan? Dave? Jordan? Ben Jordan. Ben Jordan used to, he was part of the School of Tomorrow or ACE, and he would go around and give these seminars, I guess. And one time he was talking about, I heard him preaching about marking time. He says sometimes in the ministry you just got to mark time, and it's actually a military term. It just means to march in place. You know, you're sitting there lifting your legs up, and you're just marking time, and you're waiting on the command to go. You know, they say mark time. So you just begin to mark time. You know, you're active, you're working, you're moving. And then when the command comes, you go. You move. And with ministry, sometimes you may feel like you're just marking time. But just keep marking time. I mean, all we can do is what we can do. We fan the flame. We stir up the gift that is within us. And then we just simply do. And it will, there will be days of inactivity. Every day is not like lame men at the gate beautiful raising up and walking. There's a reason those are written in the Bible as miracles, because a miracle is something that doesn't happen every day. But you still do. Man, every day wasn't a day when thousands and thousands of fishes were caught. Every day, you know, even in the Apostle Paul's life, but you just keep doing faithful. It is required of a steward that the man be found faithful. Amen. Just be faithful to God. Amen. Stir up the gift. I am not ashamed. Paul, why are you not ashamed? Because I know God's faithful. And I know that he's able to keep that which I commit unto him. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. He wasn't just being ashamed just for the sake of not being ashamed. He believed God. He was persuaded. Do we have anyone here this morning that's persuaded? Amen. That I am persuaded. I am convinced. No one, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Amen. That God is a great God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for grade of salvation that has been given to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit, God, for the strength that only comes through you. Father, we do pray for strength to purge out. We pray for the power to get rid of ashes. And Father, that we would continue in the work that you've given us to do. Use us for thy glory. God, you told us in your word that if we would just simply open our mouth, that you would feel it. And God, as a bird would just open his mouth, as a mother would fly by, knowing that what was going to be there was going to be good. But we know that. We're convinced that, Father, that you will provide our need. You have provided our need. God, thank you for your righteousness today. And we just give you praise for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet this morning as we're led here.